morning. Let me get this out of the way. Sandy doesn't have to have chemo.
Amen.
So appreciate you praying. It's all uphill from here on out. From the lazy boy to the ceiling fan, maybe. I don't know. I want you to turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 24. A year ago, we had Brother Harold Hunter here, revival. Went well, didn't it? The next thing the Lord, I believe, had put on my heart was the youth. It took a while, but we had our conference, and it went well. And I want to share with you today the way I am led by the Lord. You're going to find out in the scriptures today, it talks about a bride. And there's many, many, many different methods of winning people to the Lord. And most of them are all on our side. A lot of people get aggravated. A lot of people get misunderstood. Some people might follow things that they don't completely understand. The very first best way to win a soul is to find out how God leads. How he uses the Holy Spirit on our side, what's on the heart of God, the mind of God, and I believe you'll find it today. There's a lot of folks that, and I agree on the book of Acts, that there was a pretty hard, piercing sermon, wasn't there? It pierced their hearts. And many of them said, what do we need to do? And Peter said, repent. There's a message and way or method of winning somebody that might be that way, but that's not the only way. In fact, it'll be a better way if you learn the way we're going to talk about this morning. The way that the Bible teaches us, the way that Isaac got a bride, is the best, easiest, most powerful understanding that we could ever have. It's the way the Lord works. And this morning we want to pay much attention to these scriptures because we're the bride of Christ, aren't we, the church? Acts 20, verse 28, I believe it is, Jesus shed his blood for the church. And he didn't shed his blood until he came into this earth. He was physically the sacrifice, our substitute. He came on the cross, and shortly after that, Pentecost came, and the preaching of the blood of the Lamb began. And people began to get saved, and people began to be a part of the bride of Christ. And every time somebody gets saved, they're a part of that bride that we want to talk about this morning. If we understand how much better our lives will be. I don't know how many folks nowadays really understand this. I guess I grew up at a different time. But God loves everybody, doesn't he? And he sent his son Jesus to die for him, didn't he? Everybody needs to hear, and only those that can understand with the spiritual power can receive the Lord and be saved. I want to talk this morning about finding a bride. And I want to ask you if you would bow your heads as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for the answered prayers that we've had this week. We thank you for those also that we've prayed for, from the traveling that they did to other things, Lord, that you know about. We pray, Father, that you would be with those that's lost loved ones, those, Lord, that are grieving this morning. We just pray that you'd comfort them. Lord, bless your word this morning and help us to understand as we go through this. Lord, we would have understanding from you to give us what we need to be the Christian and the soul winner that we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, don't get too used to this, but this first one might not take a lot. I just got 9 verses. And this is so hard to stop these messages. The next, starting in verse 10 and on, is too long to put in to this morning. So this will probably be a shorter one. Maybe not short, but a shorter one than next week. How's that? Look at verse 1 of Genesis 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. A bride for Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham's life is soon to be over. He's well stricken in age, and that's really, really old. Okay? You might be feel old, but do you feel well stricken? Some of y'all might be able to say that. Some days I'm well stricken, and other days I feel pretty good. But he was probably in his own mind fixing to die, and God blessed him in all things. We go back, and we won't, but just a couple chapters back in Genesis 22, we have the sacrifice of Father Abraham and his son Isaac. And it was a symbol, a type, a picture of Jesus on the cross, God the Father and God the Son. We know that to be a fact because in the New Testament, when the Pharisees and the Jews was arguing with Jesus, Jesus said that Abraham saw my day and he was glad. So Abraham was a part of that sacrifice which represented Jesus on the cross. And the same thing is true this morning with a bride. The Holy Spirit of God in the day that we live in is going everywhere throughout the whole world, places we can't go. He's going into hearts and minds where we have never imagined that there could even be a spirit. And he's convicting folks. He's judging folks. He's letting folks know about Jesus. And when people get saved today, they're added to that group that's called the Bride of Christ. One day, not in this world, there's going to be a marriage. There's going to be a marriage. And the Bride of Christ, which is us and Jesus, the groom, will enter into eternity in that way. That reasoning, that understanding, that thought process. But today we're going to talk about engagement. I remember back years ago when me and Sandy got engaged. Now, we got engaged. We didn't get promised and pre-promised and this promise. And then we didn't go up the line like they do today. We just got engaged. You know, most of y'all probably did too. But it was a good time. It was a fun time. And the closer we got to the wedding, the more stressful it got for me and for her too. And then May 19th, 1984, you see her, tell her, I don't know what that date means. That's the day we got married. And we've been married 42 years. And it got better the last month. It really did. 40 some years, can you imagine? Some of y'all, my goodness. The year after year after year, struggles and pains and problems, but there's a love there, isn't there? And it started out maybe more outward, but it's deeper than it could ever be right now. And when we take the Lord as our Savior, a lot of it's outward. There's little inside, but there's inside enough that we're saved. But as we get older and grow together with the Lord, it gets deeper and deeper and more spiritual, doesn't it? And Isaac, representing Jesus, Abraham representing God, the servant representing the Holy Spirit, we see a picture then and now and how it goes together. Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible says on the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus says, I can't send the Comforter until I go away. When I go away, the Holy Spirit will come. So you've got God the Father and Jesus together in heaven. And you've got the Holy Spirit, the servant, going through this earth. We have Abraham and the servant and Isaac. in Genesis chapter 24. There is no bride, but there needs to be. And one of the last things that Abraham wanted to do, the greatest thing he ever wanted, was a bride for his son Isaac. He used this servant, and you'll see in a little bit, to go out and find a bride. But before he went, he made a vow. He made the servant take an oath. That was represented by the hand under my thigh in verse 2. And he said, I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites whom I dwell. This was a very, very strict agreement. Holiness and righteousness is stricter than we could ever imagine. We know a lot of folks sometimes it's just real picky and want everything right. They're nothing compared to the Lord. He is perfect. He is righteous. Everything is holy, has been and always will be. But he had an oath that the servant needed to follow. And this very, very, very strict agreement had some things in it. First, he said, is when you go to get a wife, a bride for my son, you will not take a wife from the Canaanites, the most awful, sinful, messed up people there ever was. Pagans is another word that folks would understand today. There are certain people that didn't even come up in any way that should ever be the bride of Isaac, the Canaanites. But then on the other side of it, he says, I need you to very strictly go to my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. Now, that's real clear, clean cut, isn't it? Did you know that the Holy Spirit has the same oath today as the servant did in Genesis 24? God sent the Holy Spirit out, didn't he? He came at Pentecost. He was always part of the Trinity, wasn't he? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus came, and the Holy Spirit and God the Father were together. Jesus went back with the Father, and the Holy Spirit came. That's the way it's always been since the day of Pentecost. In the strictness of the oath that the Holy Spirit has today is he's reaching out to everybody, but not everybody's going to be saved. We have it somehow in our heads that God wants us to go everywhere all the time, no matter what it is. And you be very careful. There's places and there's people that we don't need to go to. There is. There was in that day and there is today. They're disrespectful. They're ungodly. The Bible also says Jesus teaches that we shouldn't cast our pearls among swine. And I know that sounds so hard. That sounds so difficult. But the Holy Spirit, just like the servant, has an oath. Do not go over here. Don't get a wife for Isaac with these people. If you go there, there's a chance you'll do something. The best way to make sure there's no Canaanite people is to don't go there. The best way for us, strictly speaking, to follow the oath as a servant, and we're under that too, right there with the Holy Spirit, we are led by him. There's places that the Holy Spirit shouldn't go and people that shouldn't hear it at that time. Why would we go somewhere and do something that the Holy Spirit's forbidden to do? And we do, don't we? I've heard some people talk about, let's go down over there. And somebody say, yeah, but there's all this drugs and drinking. And well, I don't want them to go to hell. I don't either. Jesus said, and Paul echoed it, is God resists the proud, doesn't he? We don't comprehend, and we've got a soft heart sometimes. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit, don't we? And it's a fact in the scriptures, it's a fact today, that Abraham said, do not go to the Canaanites. I don't want you to go there. I don't want my son to be married to them. And that's something we're going to have to pray and understand. That it's just not all the time, any time I go and I expect God to save everybody all the time. And I'll tell you that here in a little while, how that can be. But to begin with, there was a strict oath of where not to go. But there was also a strict oath on where to go. There's a lot of folks that are closer to being saved than what we think. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, that means He also, by an oath, is already working on them, isn't He? Everywhere the Spirit goes, God's going to lead me to go right behind Him. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead us somewhere, sometime, that the Holy Spirit is forbidden to go, is He? And even the Holy Spirit has to obey God, and He does. The servant has to obey Abraham. And Abraham called him. He's the oldest, the best, the most knowledgeable. He takes care of everything Abraham owns, Eleazar. We'll go back and find that's his name. And he was given the opportunity to leave the father and go out to find a bride for Isaac. Look at verse 5. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed I will give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this thy oath, only bring not my son thither again. Now, what if, the servant begins to think, what if I go where you told me to go, and search for a bride the way you told me to search, and she's not willing to come back? She's not willing to accept. And in our day and time, they're not willing to repent. They're not willing to follow. Okay? Now, our way of preaching and teaching is to jump on somebody as quick as we can, tell them how bad they are, and even maybe bring up some of their known sin, and tell them if they don't change their ways, they're going to go to hell. That might fear a lot of people, scare a lot of people, but that's not what's happening here in the scriptures. This is a whole lot different. And when you understand the difference and begin to use this in your everyday life through prayer, we're going to see a whole lot more people changed. Some folks say we judge people by their fruits, but be careful. You can take every one of these people in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Rebekah is what we're going to talk about next week. And they have some of the greatest things that they've ever done with God's help. But they also had more problems than we'll ever think about. Which times do we need to inspect their fruit? We're knowing by their fruit if they're saved. Does that mean that some days they look real good and some days they don't? What about David? Somebody says, I want my son to be like David. Is that with Goliath or with Bathsheba? It's all the same, isn't it? God is the one that sends the servant. The servant is the one that agrees with an oath. The servant is the one that goes out without a doubt, as strict as he can be. But before he goes, he needs to know, what if? What if she's not willing to come back, to follow? And we go to verse 8, and Abraham says, if a woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. Now, two things. Our presentation of the gospel is to follow Jesus. It is. I like when I see those bumper stickers, Christ followers, because that's what we are. We can get people to confess. We can get people to repent. And we can count them. We can baptize them. But do they follow Jesus? Do they follow? I mean, if you're here today and you're not following the Lord, it really doesn't matter what you've said. You're not following Him. You don't understand enough of the gospel that was presented to you yet to grab a hold of what it is to be a Christian. A Christian is a bride. A bride that's going to be wedded to Jesus. It's more than just confess your sins, pray a prayer, and go on and be able to go back and that's it. It's more to it than that. It's deeper than that. It's stricter than that. And the servant was told that if she refuses, if she rejects,